Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Here's one, and I'll look for the other one too. Mark, when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater versus Drew Lock, is it as simple as Mr. Erratic versus Mr. Checkdown? Well, there might be something to that.
Yeah, I mean, there, obviously, you want to eliminate issues. But again, I mean, what kind of offense are you gonna call? How much, you know, weren't we sold this bill of goods that the reason they moved off of Scangarello is because wrinkles? I miss him.
Miss wrinkles.
I do too. But well, isn't it the reason we moved off of wrinkles is because we want to push the ball down the field? Teddy does not take a lot of chances down the field. He does not push the ball down the field quite a bit. And the difference is that Drew Lock will push the ball down the field. Now, it's not close to hitting anybody. Like, there are so many off target, just bad throws, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it does come down to Teddy Two Gloves Checkdown versus, you know, versus Drew Lock, you know, throw it 40 yards out of bounds.
All right. So back by popular.
I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Back by popular demand, the fan film room where we, all of us, on the station, on one day, take a look at the same game featuring players that we want to highlight and talk about and give our observations to. So without further ado, the return of the Fan Film Room.
Welcome to the Fan Film Room. Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater.
We do like Drew Lock, but we do realize we want competition.
Ready to break down the film on the Broncos quarterback battle. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
And I like the fact that we're doing it right now because this is, we're in a big open space here. We got about full 20 minutes here without any interruption that we can really spread out and mm-hmm. get comfortable and talk about this, right?
Okay.
Although, as one texter said, Evans, don't ever say spread out when Stink's around because it'll turn into a conversation of him naked sitting in a hotel chair doing an occasional lunge while wearing a headset talking to Broncos country and eating a bowl of cereal. You have done that before.
Well, I've done a lot of things before.
I know that you've regaled us with stories before about being in hotel rooms, Miami, whatever, looking out on the ocean and, you know, staying there in just a towel. I don't know. Do you ever mix in a lunch?
No. You know.
Maybe a one-arm push-up?
Deep, knee bend.
Deep knee.
No. There's no lunges going on.
No lunges. Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Here are the games we looked at. It was both against the Raiders. It was week one of the Panthers season. Carolina and the Raiders. Teddy Bridgewater playing quarterback. And week 17 of the Broncos season taking on the Raiders. A game that they lost at the end there, 32-31. Let's start with the new guy. Let's start with Teddy Bridgewater. Some of the observations I had of him. He is safe. He doesn't take many chances, but there is a smoothness. There is a polish. There is a lack of hurriedness or panic, lack of panic when I watch Teddy Bridgewater play. He seems to be very much under control. And that stood out to me, that level of being under control as compared to watching a full season of Drew Lock.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think that what you're seeing is a more veteran quarterback who has obviously was a first round draft choice that took Minnesota team to the playoffs, then they had that horrific knee injury, bounced around for a couple of years trying to get that thing right, spent a year you know, basically backing up Drew Brees, where he got five starts. What you're seeing is a guy who understands. Like, to me, one of the things that I see is I see a guy pre-snap that understands where he wants to go with the football. Based upon the defense that he sees, based upon what he sees, you know, the DBs playing, the rotation of the safeties, how the corners are lined up from a leverage standpoint, from, you know, a press standpoint, an off standpoint, he essentially knows pre-snap where he thinks he wants to go or where he wants to go. And I think you see that a lot with him. I think that's kind of where I would tell you that I don't think there's as much thought in Drew Lock in like pre-snap of what they're playing, what I want to do with the football based upon what look I'm getting. Now, there are a couple of other notes I wrote down. One note I wrote, not impressed with downfield arm strength and accuracy. There was in the game we were watching, second quarter, they got the ball back. Carolina did, minute 53 left, all three timeouts. And he tried a deep slant down the middle of the field that was almost intercepted. And then he tried a deep 20-yard pass to the end zone, again, that was knocked away, that I think a throw with a stronger arm.
Right.
Gets there.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about where they're running essentially a seam. And based on the defense, you had a defender in trail. I think based on what you saw there, Teddy was trying to run that receiver back in front of that safety. And it wasn't, I mean, I'll give you that. He's not going to rip it. Like, that's not his deal. So understanding your limitations, you're trying to bend your receiver back in front of the safety, because if you run it down the seam, like you just like lace one down the seam, because it's got to be, it's not really it's a layered pass, but it's a layered pass with a little torque on it. And you're eliminating the issue. Like Drew Lock throws that pass and the safety intercepts it. Teddy throws a weak ball that makes the receiver go back in front of the safety, that there's either a completion there or it's an incomplete like what you saw. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just kind of how you read that particular play.
So there was another one where kind of a red flag for me, because if the idea that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be my quarterback, it's going to be with the idea that he's going to be smart with decision making, know where to go with the ball, and they'll be on those easier throws, there'll be accuracy. So I was a little concerned. There was a throw. It was really just a simple like 12-yard out. I think it was for Curtis for Samuel. Seth Roberts, where he just overthrew him.
Right.
And I was like, wow. I mean, come on, man. That's a throw you got to make.
Yeah. Well, see, on that particular one, Michael.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Am I about? Let me guess. Oh, silly, silly football fans.
Right.
You think you know what you're watching on Sunday. You come out and you make all these grand opinions about quarterbacks, what they can and cannot do. But do you really know what was happening? Okay, go ahead. Here you go.
Right.
So what?
So
it wasn't Teddy Bridgewater's fault? This overthrow that was pretty egregious?
Yeah, no, it was. No, actually, it's on Seth Roberts.
Oh.
So you're running a flood concept, right? Like a boot flood concept. And so you're bringing a receiver from the opposite side of the field that's kind of in a nasty split, meaning a close split to the line of scrimmage, like 5 yards away from the tackle. And he's running a high cross. Okay, that's like a deep cross or a high cross. So you got a flat route underneath. So you're like in a, let's call it a 2x2 formation. You run the number one receiver on this was on the right side. It was going to the right sideline. You run the number one, you're running off coverage, right? You're running whoever, corner or safety, you're running him deep so he can't get involved in the play. And then you're running somebody in the flat to hold whoever the flat defender is. In this case, it was the corner. So that high cross,
that ball is coached to come down between 18 and 22 yards 100% of the time. That's what it's coached to come down at. So that's where you want to throw it. Because you have to, again, this is one of those layered throws, Mike, that has to have some mustard on it. It's got to be just enough to get over the underneath defenders, but it's got to have mustard so the safety or the whoever that is that's got the deep can't put his foot in the ground and come get it, right? You can't just loft it up there because then that guy can make a play. So there's a prescribed depth where that ball needs to come down at. That ball came down right at about 19 yards. Seth ran that route at 14 yards. And then he tried to, at the very end, he tried to adjust to it, and it just went off his fingertips. But his depth, because if you really watch the play, you'll see the reason it has to come down at 18 to 22. You see the safe, or excuse me, the corner who was in a flat like a cover two. He comes flying off of that, he gets depth off of that flat, receiver. And that ball just gets over the outstretched fingers of that corner, right? But it's just over the head of the receiver because the receiver's running that yard, that route of 14 yards. That's like Peyton Manning. You remember Peyton Manning at practice yelling at guys like, that needs to be a 12, not a 10. That's the precision. And so that was actually a really good throw.
Interesting.
That people will look at and go, oh, Teddy was inaccurate on that. The
right.
guy wasn't. It was a beautiful throw. So he had, I think, here's the issue with Teddy on that. He had four throws in that entire game, as I recall, that went over 12 yards. That one should have been complete. Now, here's the thing. That should have been complete. He had one that was complete, and he had one that drew a P.I.
Yep.
It was the sideline route down, I think it was Christian McCaffrey running down the sideline.
Yep.
That drew a P.I. So, ultimately, you look at that percentage would be 3 of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get a P.I., that should have been a completion, and the one completion you get. And then there was one that was just, that just wasn't close. Like that one you talked about, the seam route. But the bottom line is, well, if you look at that, hey man, we took four shots.
Right.
That were explosives and we should have had three of them.
Well, one thing I liked about Bridgewater when he did throw that, and it was limited that he threw the ball down the field, but contrast with Locke, who last year when we watched him, very little air under his long throws. Mm-hmm. Very little touch. He actually throws a nice deep ball where he does throw with a lot of air under the ball. It allowed Christian McCaffrey to draw a pass interference call. And then there was the 75-yard touchdown pass that he threw to Robbie Anderson.
Right.
Where it was a great route by Anderson. I mean, Anderson made the whole play with the route that he ran. But it was still a nice, easy, very catchable, lofted ball. Plenty of air under it that Bridgewater threw.
I think the other thing is the ball placement. There's another, like, you want to talk about a subtlety to that throw? Because that ball probably came down at, what, 15 yards, 18 yards, somewhere there. But they got him on a wheel, right? They got the corner on a wheel with a little pump. And Teddy threw it back to the inside. He could see the safety come screaming over there. He threw it a little bit short and back to the inside where the receiver had to adjust to the inside on it, and then the safety came flying over the top. Like, so there was an adjustment to, like, hey, let me throw it over here a little bit, a little weak. If he leads him down the sideline, that play is broken up.
Correct.
So he throws it back inside. Like I told you, he was trying to throw that seam back inside to make that receiver cut in front of the safety. Like, he sees what the defense is doing, and he puts the ball placement is a very important aspect of completing passes, and that thing ended up going 70-whatever yards for a touchdown.
It was 75 yards. So this is a game. This is a game where Bridgewater, the Panthers scored 30 points. Bridgewater was 22 of 34 for 269 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, and he only got sacked once. But here's what I think was the key to the efficiency. And you watch Teddy Bridgewater in this game. There's nothing about him that's like, wow, look at this just jaw-dropping talent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you saw a real poised efficiency, but he had Christian McCaffrey in this game. This was before McCaffrey got hurt. McCaffrey carried the ball 23 times for 97 yards, caught three passes for 38 yards. All told, the Panthers threw the ball 34 times, they ran it 30 times. All right. Mm-hmm. That sweet spot that if you're going to try to win with a quarterback like Bridgewater or Locke, that's the way your offense has to be set up, right?
Correct.
And if you do that and your quarterback doesn't make mistakes, now all of a sudden, the fact that maybe he isn't making big jaw-dropping plays all over the place really isn't that important, because you're being efficient, you're balanced, and you can still have a very good day scoring 30 points.
Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately what you have to do. But to be able to do that, what do you have to have? You've got to have some balance.
Yep.
You've got to be able to run the ball well enough to set up your play actions, to do some of those things. And then ultimately, most of what Teddy Bridgewater completed was underneath stuff. Now, there were a couple of errant throws on swing passes to the back. Like, it was those are where he struggled. Like the short passes, little swing over to the back, little quick flat route.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he missed a couple of those. He missed a touchdown that would have easy throw. He threw it back in the back shoulder of the running back, allowed that flat defender to get over there and break it up. So there was a couple of those throws, the short quick throws, get it on the run, that require a little firmness, but touch firmness that Teddy didn't throw very well.
Okay, now we transition to what we saw from Locke again against the Raiders. This was week 17. You guys remember the game. The Broncos gave up that late touchdown drive and two-point conversion to lose 32-31. But in this game, the Broncos scored 31 points. Panthers scored 30. Broncos scored 31. Again, look at the numbers. Locke, 25 of 41, 339 yards, two touchdowns. Melvin Gordon, 26 carries, 93 yards. The Broncos threw it 41 times, ran it 32. Again, nice balance. Not asking too much of your quarterback, just enough of a running game, no interceptions by Locke, and they score 31 points. You see the formula for both?
Sure.
Sure. If you want to get the most out of these guys?
Yeah, the difference to me, obviously he hit that one ball to Jerry Jeudy that was where he was really protected. And I think the biggest thing, Mike, with Locke is, like, even on the deep ball accuracy is just not very good.
Yeah.
And some of it is, you know, obviously pocket presence, some of it's pressure or perceived pressure. And then, some of it is not having a good connection with your receivers. Like, what are we doing? Like, at what point do I throw back shoulder versus what point do I lead you down the sideline?
They're not on the same page.
No.
You can tell.
Not at all. And then I think the other thing that is interesting with me, when you look at him consistently in the pocket, is the amount of perceived pressure. There are so many times he feels like there's going to be pressure, so he starts to move, and he misses windows. I will tell you the other thing. There's a couple plays where you just look at him and you're like, dude, just throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first, like there was a third and four where I think it was Philip Lindsay was out in the flat, whatever, and it's automatic. It's the first read and progression. Throw it, you get first down, you convert, we move. That's your job. As a quarterback, your job is to convert on third down. So, like, he doesn't throw it. He looks to, you know, maybe I can get something deep. It's not open. Comes back to it. Now it's late, and he's under duress, and he throws an incompletion. And now you have to punt. And you're like, if you just take it in the first place, it's an automatic conversion, and we moved the chains. We got three more downs, and it's just little things like that, that were just, you know, you just look at it and you're like, eh.
So at the risk of you calling me Michael again,
uh-huh,
when I talk about a poor Teddy Bridgewater throw, and you're like, oh no,
right,
that's exactly the right depth and 18 yards, 19 yards,
yeah.
Okay, watching Locke play. One thing that stood out to me is how in a performance in which a lot of times he looks, it just looks awkward. It looks rough. It looks a little panicky. It's not smooth. The one time to me that he looks the most comfortable is when he is under center and he runs a bootleg. It's, I think that moment of being under center, the bootleg, it freezes the offense, it freezes the defense just enough. It gets him out on the move, and he seems to just look more comfortable and seems to see the field better, and he's more accurate with his throws.
Yeah, but, well, I think ultimately, Mike, what you're describing there is an opportunity to be what he is a sight thrower. Like, not an anticipatory thrower. Like, I want to see the guy open looking at me, and then I'll chuck it to him, right? I'll get it to him. That's where you see the majority of his completions, Mike, are all in zone. Like, the tight end's running a spot route over the middle, right over the ball, and you just dump it to him. Like, you're running some type of snag route where you've got a high-low on a three-man side, you know, where you're basically working, one guy's just running clear, and you're working, you know, you're working a what they call a bow. So you're working an arrow, which is just to turn around and work away from leverage. So it's about a four-yard route by the inside guy. The outside guy's running a basic, which is a 12-yard in-cutting route. And you're just high-lowing that. And you're basically saying, hey, we're going to put somebody in conflict, and depending on it's kind of a throw where they ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you're kind of a sight thrower, you can see that's where he has the majority of his success. So anytime you're booting out, normally what you're getting is you're running a guy deep that just really is kind of more of a let's lift coverage. And then you're running some guy in the flat and some guy that's coming across the football field. And so as you fake and then flip your hips and flip your head around, you've eliminated half the, you're not even worried about the backside.
Yeah. You're only dealing with half a field.
You're running half a field.
Yeah.
And your progression is linear. You got short, medium, and deep. You know, you may be running a deep comeback or whatever. Or, hey, man, if he gets over the top, man, just chuck it. You know, so it becomes a really easy thing for a guy that I would consider, you know, at this point, a young player who's a sight thrower. And this is the problem coming out of some of these spread offenses. You're really only reading one guy, so you're just looking at that guy the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at that long pass to Jerry Jeudy, the 92-yard completion, he's got complete protection. They run something short, a little smash in front, and Jerry Jeudy's running a dig, you know, like a deep in-cutting route, right? And he's looking at that smash, and he's eyeballing Jerry Jeudy the whole way, and no linebackers get depth at that point in the game. They just kind of sit, and here comes Jerry Jeudy. He just rips it, and that's a great throw, but like the whole time he's looking.
Yeah.
Right? The whole time that's where he's looking. It came wide open. Credit to him. He's good at that. Like he can dial it in on that. But it's the other things where you have to throw with anticipation, where there's a West Coast term, Mike, they say you gotta throw with your feet. Which means you gotta throw on time. Your feet have to be on time based upon the route combination that you're throwing. And that's how you get completions in a West Coast offense, really in any offense. Your feet have to be on time. And that's a big issue. His feet rarely are on time, especially in shotgun.
I want to talk about that because that was something that stood out. But as we talk about what we saw on film with these two guys, and if it is going to be Locke versus Bridgewater, what was the takeaway as to who is the favorite and who is likely to end up winning this job, winning this battle? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Really enjoy doing these fan film rooms because during the course of the season, you watch games. Well, most of us. We watch games.
Uh-huh.
And you tend to watch the overall offense or the overall just Broncos performance. And what I love about these fan film rooms is it allows us to just go back and watch a game and focus just on one player. And that's what we're doing today with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, a couple of their performances against the Raiders last year. And we're talking about Lock. And again, you know, I'm not the expert, you are, but from these armchair quarterback eyes, Drew Lock looks more comfortable and his mechanics seem better when he's under center. When he's in shotgun, to me it looks like a hot mess.
Right.
He's skittish. The footwork that Cecil always talks about, it's all over the place. Most of his throws when he's in shotgun, he literally is falling away and mm-hmm. throwing as he's leaning back on his back leg. It looks like he gets a lot more sidearmy when
right.
he's in shotgun. Am I right?
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think a lot of it is again, you throw with your feet. And so when you don't have, call it discipline or consistency from shotgun. One of the most fascinating conversations I've ever had was with, in the last 4 years of doing games, was with Matt Ryan. And how he talks about shotgun drops versus regular drops and how he and Kyle Shanahan essentially, like, Matt Ryan is kind of almost, quote-unquote, today's godfather of footwork out of shotgun and how you tie your feet to your throws. And he told me, he's like, listen, like, it may be a three-step drop in shotgun. They may be three of the tiniest steps in the world based upon what route we're running. But he goes, my receivers damn well better get where they're supposed to be because I'm going to be on time. And it all has to do with the footwork. And so the other thing is you hit like if it's a three step or it's a five step, three tiny steps and maybe a bigger step, you know, and you hit the five step. Now, if that first one's not open, your hitch is climbing up in the pocket. What you don't see Drew Lock do very often, if ever in shotgun, is climb the pocket. It's usually his escape mechanism is falling back out of the pocket and to the right instead of climbing back up in the pocket. And, you know, again, I just think it's coaching. I think it's lack of development. I think it's six different offenses. I think it's all these things.
Is
it's
it
not
fixable?
Easy.
Is it
yeah,
fixable?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's got to be one of those things that you recognize as a real issue and that the coaching staff recognizes as a real issue. And it's got to be worked on. And I think ultimately, you know, you look at last year, when did you ever have time? You had no offseason to work on that stuff. It has to be drilled constantly.
After watching the two quarterbacks, where are you at right now as to who would win the competition?
Oh, I think that Teddy Bridgewater is a better quarterback right now as currently constructed. There's no question.
Why?
It's because his knowledge of the game is his ability in the pocket, and he's a better anticipatory thrower. He's better at understanding what they're going to give him and where he wants to go with the football. He's less of a sight thrower. When you're a sight thrower, you are almost always late. When you're late, every throw is altered because of pressure, because you can't get your feet behind it, which leads ultimately to picks and inaccurate balls. And that's what you see. Now, I will say this. I don't think, you know, as talented as we are or as fast as we are or as many first rounders as we have, I don't see a lot of guys really bailing that guy out.
Bailing lockout.
Right. So I thought that just looking, and now I've gone deep dive into two games. And I'm using this fan film room as kind of a way to prepare for the season. Meaning what do I normally do? How do I break down a game? What can I see? Is there something that I can look at that would help me become, you know, a better analyst as I'm watching a game? Like, what are the, not just describing what happened, but the why it happened? Like the high cross coming down at 18 to 22 and the receiver running at 14. That's a mistake on the receiver's part, right? Like we talked about earlier. So, like, how can you look at this stuff and get a better feel for what's going on? So, like, hey, I know that everybody raved about Jerry Jeudy. Everybody raved about Jerry Jeudy and his route running ability. When you put your hands on Jerry Jeudy, he's done. You're a DB that can get your hands on. Now, I will tell you, you guys made, in many instances, made the Raiders now like a skilled man coverage team. They were, I mean, there weren't a lot of flags being thrown. There should have been. I don't know how many PIs the Raiders got called for or holdings, but there should have been a dozen more. I mean, they were, like, they're getting away with it, and I give the Raiders a lot of credit. It's like Chad Brown whining about me holding him. Don't get held, moron. Right? I mean,
Chad Brown.
Right. Chad Brown. But, you know, I
mean. Chad Brown.
If you're going to allow the DBs to undress you 12 yards down the field and they're not going to get called, you know what's going to happen? They're going to continue to undress you, which I would tell you this is you haven't established yourself as good enough players to get the calls. You know what I mean? The other thing is, like, I was very unimpressed with as good an athlete as Noah Fant is. When he is locked up in man, he doesn't create any separation. Inside. Now, outside, maybe that's a different story because he can really run. But fluidity of movement, of creating, like, quick separation, like, when guys get their hands on him, he does not, he can't separate. And I don't know exactly what that is, if he's not used to using his body that way, if, like, if in college he just, nobody touched him, so he just got open. Like, I don't know what that is, but I was thoroughly unimpressed. I'm like, dude, like, get some separation in the middle.
Ouch.
Any
other general takeaways from the off? I mean, we were focusing on Locke, but did any other things
pop up? Did breakdowns. Like, you still have big issues at center, right guard, and right tackle. Big issues.
Center with Kush?
Yeah, he just, even week 17, just as now, he may come back and be a lot stronger and be, you know, but he just did not play. He did not play with the aggressiveness you'd like to see or the strength that you'd like to see.
And right guard, was Glasgow?
Well, they rotated. Glasgow was hurt or he had COVID. So they had a couple late games. They had Mutai. They had Schlotman. They had the deli guy in there.
The deli guy.
And then I think Elijah, was it Wilkinson that played, which was – not particularly good.
Underwhelming, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The O-line. I think the thing about, here's why the coaches are probably, and this is why it's on lock, and this is why his career is at a crossroads, because what you saw was, you do see the talent with him. It's undeniable. You see the talent, but you still see how rough his game is and how kind of frenetic his game is out there. He's not calm. He's not polished. There's a,
right.
The game almost seems fast, you know, when he's out there.
Let me tell you what you see, and I'll equate it to something.
Okay.
When we come back, and I'll equate to something. And this is why you can't get it. This is why the general fan, you can't get enamored with certain things. And I'll tell you what those things are.
Okay. We're all going to get called Michael here.
Yeah. Right? You're all about to get a Michael.
We're all about ready to get lectured by Professor Stink. That's coming up next. So for us, and all the shows are going to be talking about the Bridgewater Panthers Raiders week one and the Broncos lock week 17 versus the Raiders games and observations throughout. When it comes to the potential of these two battling in training camp, to me, Mark, it's as simple as this. Drew Lock has to have had a monster offseason when it comes to mechanics and just calm in which he plays and slowing the game down. Because if I'm a coach and I look at Teddy Bridgewater, I'm going to be drawn to the fact that while this guy may not be making, like, oh my God, did you see that kind of throws and plays all over the field? He's what's going to jump out when I look at the tape of Teddy Bridgewater is look how calm he is. Look how under control he is. He doesn't seem to get hurried. And he's somebody I can trust. I can trust him. He's more of the trustworthy quarterback than Drew Lock appears in the game that we watched yesterday. Now, hey, Drew, it's open to you to come out and be a different guy this season. But that's the obvious challenge I see for him. Because a coach, and you, what do I always say? Coaches coach more to what could go wrong than what can go right. And if they're more concerned with avoiding the mistakes, Bridgewater's going to be their guy, clearly, based on what I saw from those two games yesterday.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that when you look, like everybody will sit there and say, well, obviously Drew Lock is incredibly talented. Because what you're looking at is athleticism, right? I would tell you that Tom Brady's incredibly talented. But what we're looking at there is there's a difference in talent, right? There is the neck up talent, your ability to scramble within the pocket without ever actually leaving the pocket, your ability to manipulate the pocket, to drive up, to slide right, to slide left, to open up yourself a window and then throw one sidearm if you need to, not because you want to, and put that ball on the target. There's a difference there. What you're looking at when you say Drew Lock is talented is you're looking at athleticism.
Right, right, right.
Do you know what athleticism gets you? You become a track star. Like, did you watch DK Metcalf run the 100 meters yesterday?
Wow.
Now, he ran out of 17, I think it was 17 or 18, he placed 15th or something.
I don't care. Right. I don't care. Those are professional track stars.
He ran 10.36. So, he's 235 pounds. Now, let me just tell you what none of those track stars can do. They can't play football, but he can run with the track stars. And he lost 20 pounds or 25 pounds. He probably beat them all. But it's easy to see athleticism. It's easy to see speed. It's easy to see all that stuff. That stuff doesn't translate to being a great football player. Great football players, you know, understand from the neck up what they're trying to accomplish, the leverage they're trying to create, how they can create mismatches, how they can win even when they're put in a position that isn't great. I will tell you this, and we talked about, you know, the protection issues and all the different things that are going on. Protection is not so much about the five guys up front in my mind as it is about the guy calling plays. And one of the issues that you have here, which is making it hard for Drew Lock to grow, now the offseason and everything was hard last year. There's no question. It did not help. But if you don't have an identity, I don't care. It could be the Rockies. It can be the Nuggets. It could be the Avs. It could be the Broncos. If you don't know what you are, right, and what you're trying to accomplish, then it leaves your players guessing all the time. And you will always schematically, you will scheme based on a team's weakness, but you damn well better have a few tenants, thank you, that you hang your hat on. You know, there better be a couple of pillars to say, hey, this is where this is where I hang up my jeans at night. This is where I hang up my sweatshirt. This is where I put my hat. And you damn well better have those, because if you don't, you don't ever have anything that people have to prepare for 24/7. And then all your big design stuff comes off of those things. And that's the issue, is just the willy-nilly nature from week to week to week of what you're trying to become.
You know, the whole talent versus just playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You just described Paxton Lynch. You had forgotten. Ken, who's normally in my ear, he had forgotten.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's true. I mean, look, the whole, oh, look how athletic he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I hear people start talking about quarterbacks and they start with and they frame it all as look at that athleticism, that's when I just roll my eyes, because
right.
That means so little in the overall scheme of things if you're talking about being a great quarterback for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. This one comes in from George on the RamosLaw.com text line. The great Peyton Manning credited Jim Caldwell with helping developing him. You know who else he worked with? Matthew Stafford. Both quarterbacks who were exceptional in the pocket. Both guys were also number one overall picks. But after watching both games, it is clear the work that Drew Lock needs to make, the steps he needs to take in just becoming a more polished, refined quarterback.
Yes.
Whose responsibility is that to get the most out of him? Ultimately, it's on Drew.
Yeah.
But should that be able to be coached into him?
Well, one, it's got to become Drew Lock's obsession, right? It's mm-hmm. not good enough to say, hey, this is my job. It's got to be an obsession. And I think, obviously, I think he's working toward that. So I think that's important. I think he's working toward that. It's got to be, it's one of those, you know, that kind of 10,000 hour principle.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to erase, like, the biggest crutch you have is that you're a great athlete. That's a hard crutch to overcome, because your whole life you've been able to lean on that crutch. When things break down, just be an athlete. And that's the juxtaposition of playing quarterback. Is just being an athlete. I got a text here that says something to the effect of the NFL gutters are full of athletic quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
And so I just think there's this incredible juxtaposition of athleticism cannot be your default mechanism when things break down. If it is, you're destined to fail.
Yep.
And to be able to change that mentality, I think it's close to impossible.
But if you are obsessed with it and you're willing to...
Then you got a chance.
It can be fixed. It can be fixed. Okay.
But it is hard.
Yeah, because that's 20 years almost of just instincts, of just, yeah. Hey, when things aren't working, go be an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to stop thinking like that. Pick your spots as to when you want to.
When things aren't working, go be a quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, good. You might want to write that down in your handy dandy. Oh, you left your handy dandy notebook at home.
No, I got a different one.
Oh, different one. Wow. You have many notebooks. Okay.
Man of many notebooks.
We are done. We'll hear what Sandy and Orlando have to say about the Fan Film Room, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. What did they see in the same games we watched? You'll hear coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.